Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in Psalm 33, the 33rd Psalm. And let's see, I think we covered the first 15 verses or so. So if you didn't hear those, go back and catch the previous two episodes, I think, is where we covered those. It's getting a little too long to reread it again, you know what I mean? So we're going to pick up at verse 16 and read the balance of the Psalm today. Verse 16 says this, "The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength." Now, just jumping in the midst of this, you think, well, what is this all about? But if you keep in mind what the Psalm's about, he told us to sing praise to the Lord, sing for joy to the Lord, because the word of the Lord is upright. And then he declared that by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all of their hosts, that the Lord gathered the waters together and all the storehouses of the deep, and that all the earth and all the inhabitants of the world are to fear the Lord, to stand in awe of him, and that the Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations, but how a nation is blessed whose God is the Lord. And so what he's saying is, what are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? And we've seen this in several of the Psalms, but he's saying, you know, a king is not saved by a mighty army. We'll see this more in some a couple more Psalms coming up, but Psalm 44 says, "I will not trust in my bow, nor will my sword save me." That's the idea. Who do you trust in? Psalm 60 says, "Oh, give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is in vain." Yeah, deliverance by man is not going to work. It's only the Most High God that brings forth true deliverance. And the whole thing, a horse is a false hope of victory. Oh, how true is that? Several verses speak about that. You know, in Psalm 20, we saw that some boast in chariots and some boast in the horses, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will boast or trust in the name of the Lord our God. And there's a couple of the Psalms where we'll see the same type of thing, that what are you trusting in? If you're trusting in your horse, that's a false hope for victory. What if your horse collapses? If you trust in your weaponry, if you trust in your ability in anything, it's a false hope for victory. The end of verse 17 says, "Nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength." A horse has a great strength. Oh, so do cars, trucks, tanks, boats, helicopters, military aircraft, et cetera, et cetera. They all have great strength. But in what and in who are you trusting? If you're trusting in the king, if you're trusting in the warrior, if you're trusting in the horse, then there's going to be trouble. Because ultimately, all of those will fail. Verse 18, the psalmist says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." So you got a couple things going on right here. The eye of the Lord, which we've seen that a couple times already. So in Psalm 32, you see it in Job. We're going to see it again in Psalm 34. 1 Peter talks about it in quoting the Old Testament, "For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." We saw that in the Psalm. So it's telling us that the Lord's eye is on those who fear him. He watches over us to do good, to do us well, okay? The eye of the Lord on those who fear him. If you don't fear him, well, the eye of the Lord is on you for a different reason. But look at what he said here. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness. And that hope is the word wait. We see it two or three times in this psalm right here, and we've seen it in other ones. The ones who wait for his loving kindness. You're resting in the Lord. You're hoping in the Lord. And it's not this kind of thing that we do in the natural. Well, I hope something happens. I hope God does something. You know, that this Eeyore kind of hope. No, he's saying the Lord's eye is on you. If you fear the Lord, if you wait on his loving kindness. So what does that tell us? It tells us that his loving kindness is coming. His loving kindness will be executed, will be manifest. Of course, our problem is we want it now, right? But he says, no, the ones who hope, who wait upon the loving kindness of the Lord. And then there's a little twofold thing here in verse 9, same sentence, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. So our hope in the Lord, our trust in the Lord, is what will, that he's the one that will deliver our soul from death and to keep us alive in famine. But we say, well, you know, if you live long enough, you're going to die. And this is true. This is true. But the Lord is going to be with us up until that very last breath that he foreordained before the foundations of the world were spoken to existence. Yeah. And the Lord, that to deliver their soul from death, that might go beyond just our corporeal existence right here. Those who fear him, those who are true believers, when we do die, our soul is not dead. We experience death in the natural, but we don't within the spirit, because absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. And he delivers our soul from Sheol, and then he also promises to keep them alive in famine. So even if we are to die, he delivers our soul, we're with him. Even if we are to remain alive in the midst of famine and horrific things, he keeps us. And that keep is really, really important, because we are kept in the Lord Jesus Christ. Chasing a little sidebar rabbit here real quick, out of my background, the big buzz phrase for years and years, and still to this day, is that people say, well, once saved, always saved. Well, it depends on what you mean by that. Start with, you're not going to find that verse in the Bible. You will find that principle, but that's not exactly what it says. We are kept by the Lord. If you are truly his, he keeps you. Isn't this thing, oh, I'm saved and all right, I can do whatever I want to, you know, and God has to forgive me, etc. No. That's foolishness. You don't do that. But we're kept by him. And we see echoes of that right here, that he keeps them alive in the famine. If you're a true believer, you are kept by the Lord. Keep pressing into him. Keep pressing on into him, and don't sin. Now, last three verses very quickly. Verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And there it is again. Our soul waits, the idea being of hoping and waiting for the Lord. Why? Because he is our help. He is our shield. Verse 21. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Well, there's the bottom line, okay? We rejoice. Remember how it started off? Come, rejoice. Sing for joy to the Lord. How can we do that? Because we trust in his holy name. Verse 22, the last verse. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you or waited for you. So it says, our heart rejoices because we trust in his holy name. We wait in his upon his holy name. We wait upon him, and then he just declares, Lord, release that loving kindness. Bring your loving kindness upon us according as we have hoped or waited for you. So to the degree that we have hoped in you, Lord, to the degree that we have waited upon you, then bring forth your loving kindness. That sort of motivates us to trust even more, to hope even more, to wait even more aggressively and not have a bad attitude about having to wait. Because the more we wait and the more we hope in him, the greater the degree of the loving kindness the Lord's going to release? I don't know. Perhaps. Well, my time's up. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time, and I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.